T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, back on the show. A week from today, spring football will begin for the University of Miami, so that should be a lot of fun. Coming up, we'll hear from De'Ara King in a moment. Katie Meyer also joins us in this hour. And also, Hurricanes defensive end Quincy Roche will be with us. Let's see. University of Miami baseball team, despite being swept by the Florida Gators, they remain highly ranked. All the polls have them in the top 15. Several polls have them in the top 10. They'll play a midweek game, an afternoon game, because of the ACC network. They'll play that Wednesday afternoon against South Florida. Then this weekend, Towson State comes in. Lost three games to the Gators. Three games that could have gone either way. Canes could have won any one of those three games. Could have won all three games with a play here or a play there. And anybody that did not think the Gators had a good team doesn't understand college baseball. Gators had the number one recruiting class in the nation. And the Gators not only get quality pitchers, some of the best that have come through college baseball recently, somehow they're able to recruit first-round guys that go to school. And now there's a big difference also between what University of Florida can offer and what the University of Miami can offer when it comes to baseball. Because if you don't know, baseball is not a full scholarship sport. So you can figure it out after that. At any rate, that was a great series. Three great games. Miami was down to the last pitch on Saturday night. Unfortunately, Fetterman gave up a two-strike, two-out double. Credit to the Gators. They made the plays when they had to. And they've got some guys on that team. The leadoff hitter is a draft-eligible sophomore that's going to go high in the draft. And every guy they put in there pitching-wise probably is touching 93, 94 miles an hour. Those were – the Miami bats were silent. Well, there's a reason. The old adage of good pitching stops good hitting. They had good pitching, and so did Miami. And I'm very confident that the University of Miami is going to have a very good, very exciting college baseball season. A little unfortunate that Freddie Zamora is not able to play this year because of an injury. They'll have to work around that one. It did kind of show up the other night in the series. It shows up both offensively and defensively. Taking a guy out of the lineup who's got a really good glove and a really good bat, you're moving a guy from second base to shortstop, and you're moving a guy into the lineup who doesn't have the same quality, is not the same quality hitter. That being said, we got a long way to go. They're ranked inside the top 15. The atmosphere the other night, all three days, was tremendous. Hats off to all the fans that showed up because the weather didn't cooperate so much. It was cold, it was chilly, it was rainy, but it was loud, it was intense, and it's what college baseball was meant to be. Three great games, but Gina will have the team, I think, playing at a high level this year. Conference play doesn't start for another 2 or 3 weeks. So we'll see where they are in March, April, and May, and I think they'll be poised. Someone said, oh, they won't win 50 games. Yeah, you know what you got to do to win 50 games in college baseball? Win them all. They only played 55. You win 40, you've had a great year. You win 40, 45, you probably have had a tremendous year. You only play 55 or 56. You're not going to win them all. At any rate, Let's move our attention now to football. Spring football starts on Monday. One of the top transfers this year was quarterback De'Ara King. He comes to Miami from Houston. He has a great, that is very good, touchdown interception ratio. He's a guy that can hurt you with his arm, and he can hurt you with his legs. And now he's going to try to hurt the opponent as a member of the University of Miami. Joining us now, University of Miami quarterback De'Ara King. And De'Ara transfers in from the University of Houston. And so a very exciting time for everybody, for De'Ara King and for the University of Miami, and certainly for Hurricane fans. De'Ara, welcome to Miami.
Appreciate it. I'm glad to be here.
Why, same question asked Quincy Roche, why was this a good fit for you?
It's everything about it, man. It's the U, first of all. So the history behind the program and where the program can be again is pretty appealing to me. And then hiring Coach Lashley, the offense that he runs, I think I fit good in offense. So it's just a perfect fit for me.
You have played a lot of games. You've got a lot of football under your belt. So you come in here as a very experienced player in a spread offense.
Just playing my last 3 years starting quarterback at Houston. Got a lot of experience by that, and I think I could come here and help the guys that haven't played as much, and also help the guys that have played, and we can kind of meet in the middle and try to be dominant this season.
You have the ability to keep a play alive. I guess, you can keep plays alive either through scheme where guys are open or the quarterback can do it. And you have that ability to keep a play alive and keep guys hot.
Yeah, I feel like that's one of my best traits of my game, just extending the play. The play is never dead with a mobile guy. And I think a lot of times when quarterbacks get outside the pocket, that's when a lot of big plays happen. So there's some kind of pride myself for doing.
Was it important to you, or how important was it to you to play in the Power 5 conference, to play in the ACC, or whether it was the SEC or Big 12? How important was that for you?
It was very important. Just coming from Houston, Houston is a great program, great conference, American Athletic Conference. I think it's underrated, honestly. But just coming to Power 5 and try to do the same things that I did in the last conference, I think it kind of be a bigger deal. So I'm excited to get going.
I would agree with you. Houston was a team that in the old days was an independent, then the Southwest Conference. They've always had great football tradition, and you played against some very good teams that were either in that conference or Power 5 teams such as Oklahoma.
Yeah. Played a lot of great teams over my 4 years there. Oklahoma, played them twice in my 4 years. Played Texas Tech, Louisville. So we had pretty good competition. And like I said, I think the conference is underrated. So I'm excited to be here. I'm looking forward to being a Miami Hurricane now.
Quarterbacks from Texas, they're the rage right now. Why is that?
Texas high school football is second to none. I'm sorry. I'm from Texas. I'm sorry to people that's from Florida. But I think the high school football down there, high school coaching that we get is second to none. We have everything that the college has as far as like facilities and training session during school, during fifth period and all that. So I think just we get an upper hand as far as coaching. But I'm just excited to be down here now.
You knew about Coach Lashley, though, right? He was at SMU. You probably knew he was at Auburn. What's that marriage going to be like for you?
Hopefully it'll be great. Playing against him the last couple of years, I seen what SMU offense did the last couple of times I played him, and I always thought I could succeed in that kind of offense. So hopefully coming here, get things rolling, starting on the right foot, and keep going.
How about the guys you come in to work with here? You got a group of receivers that have been here, offensive linemen, some of the guys on the offensive side of the ball. Have you had a chance to talk with them, work out with them? How is that going?
Of course, it's going really, really good. Just connecting with Pope Harley, D. Wiggins, throwing to Will Mallory, Brevin. Not Brevin because he's hurt right now, but as far as everybody else, just working with those guys has been pretty good. Trying to get close to the linemen right now. Me and Corey have a pretty good relationship. So just trying to work everything out, and we'll be fine. We'll be good.
Hurry-up offense, up-tempo offense. Why is that such a positive?
I think it's good in many ways. It keeps the defense guessing. The defense is always on the heels, and it allows us to take a lot of shots. And I feel like the defense gets tired more, and we'll be used to it and in shape during the practice, during fall camp and all that. So it just creates big plays.
When you talk about the quarterback position, you talk about leadership. You embrace that part of the job, right?
Yes, sir. I think that's the number one trait of quarterback you have is leadership. And just coming here, obviously having to earn the team's respect. I've only been here for 2.5 weeks, so I'm still trying to do that. But I think it's got started off on a good foot.
You know, this is playing quarterback. I say this to every guy that comes here. Playing quarterback at Miami, it's probably a different animal. And people can say, well, you know, quarterback at Oklahoma or the quarterback at LSU. But in Miami, it's not only the quarterback at the University of Miami. They always think they get lumped in with Miami, which means Dan Marino, Bob Greasy, Vinny Testaverde for the Hurricanes, and Jim Kelly. It just means the tradition and history of quarterback in this city. Is that something you look forward to?
Of course. All those guys you just named are great quarterbacks. And I know coming here, I don't take it lightly. Being in Miami playing quarterback is some big shoes to fill. And I take that. I carry that with a chip on my shoulder. And I just come in the building, work hard, and try to prove everybody right.
Now, this was an offense a year ago that was hit and miss. But one of the areas they really struggled was third down. What do you think the key to winning on third down is?
Yeah, being good in third down, that means you got to be good on first and second down. So you can't have negative plays to start off a drive. And usually you want to be in the third and two, third and threes. You don't want to be third and seven, third and eight. So just having positive plays on early downs could help that.
Here's what I think helps on third down: a mobile quarterback.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of teams like to drop a lot of guys in the zone to stop the pass on third down, but they never account for the quarterback. So it could be a 39. Everybody's dropping out. Then I find a little seam and try to go pick up the first down.
Hard thing to do in a quarterback room is pull everybody together. Everybody wants to play quarterback. Only one guy can do it. How is that relationship going with the guys that are here?
It's going great. Just meeting those guys. Like I said, I've only been here 2 weeks. So me, Cozy, Tate, Peyton, everybody. Everybody has a good relationship already. And every quarterback room I've ever been in my whole college career, we all had a great relationship. So obviously we got to come here and compete. I mean, nobody's has won a starting job yet. So everybody got to come here and compete. And I just think having a good quarterback room makes everybody better, just pushing each other. So I'm looking forward to it.
Derek King is our guest here on the show. Derek, quarterback, University of Miami. You had a bevy of receivers at Houston. You had guys that were tall. You had guys that were short. You had guys that were fast. You had guys that could run long, intermediate. What do you think you got here?
A little bit of everything, honestly. Of course, you got D. Wiggins outside, a long receiver that can really, really run. Harley and Pope. Pope was a great route runner. Harley can blaze as far as anybody I've seen so far. And you got a great tight end. You got two great tight ends, three really good tight ends that I think we'll use a lot this year. So, and also you got great backs. And the most important of all, the O-line, everybody's back. So just a second year of getting the win under them, and all five men back is great for the offense.
You played wide receiver at Houston. You were one of the leading receivers. Do you think that will help you connect with the guys that are here since you played that position?
Yeah, of course. A lot of people don't want to admit it, but I think wide receivers have the hardest practice. All they do is run every single day. And me playing a position, I think I could relate to those guys in that sense and know where they want the ball, certain routes, when they're going over the middle, they want it low, and just take care of the receivers. Me playing it, I think it can help a lot.
There are not a lot of quarterbacks that on their resume have a kick return for a touchdown.
Yeah, my freshman year, I kind of did a little bit of everything, punt return, kick return, and one game, Texas State just – seen the crease and I took it to the crib. Yes, sir.
Your thought on, maybe you've looked at the schedule, I don't know how much you know about the ACC, the competition you're going to face. Of course, Florida State is, you know, a game we all circle, but what do you think about some of the teams you're going to face in the ACC?
I think it's a great conference. Obviously, Clemson's been on top for a long time now. But I think it's a good all-around conference. You got to come out and play every single week. You can't take anybody lightly. And I haven't played any of these teams outside Louisville, so I don't know much about them yet, but I'll learn pretty quickly.
There is one team on the schedule you did play, right? Temple.
Yeah, I played Temple. Yeah, played Temple, I think, three times out of my 4 years, and we got them week one, so I'm looking forward to that matchup. And Temple is a really, really, really good team. A lot of people sleep on them, but I'm wide awake. I know what they're about. I know they're tough as nails, so I'm looking forward to the matchup.
Quincy said he got you one time.
I don't remember that. I'm not going to admit that, but I do remember playing against him. He was in the game plan. I have to know where he was at all times. He's a great player. I'm glad I'm not playing against him anymore.
All right. Spring football is going to start here at the end of February, so right around the corner, knocking on the door. It's going to extend for probably into April. What are some of the things you want to do in spring football? What's going to be important to Derek King in spring football?
Just getting a connection with the team. It's a new system, so obviously it's going to take some time so everything starts clicking. So I think that'll come with time. So just getting a connection with the team and getting my connection down with the receivers.
What's it like to put that U on all the time?
Man, it's crazy. It's surreal for me to be here right now. I'm very excited. I know the history behind the program, and I'm excited to try to help it get back to where it's been.
part of that history is also going to be a part of the program. Ed Reed is here as part of the program. That's got to be fun to be around. He's going to be fun to be around, but probably maybe fun's not the right word. Inspirational.
Yeah, no doubt. Ed Reed is the best safety of all time in my eyes. Just him, the hiring of him in this program is great. You know, I think he'll help us tremendously, just his knowledge and experience, and I'm looking forward to it.
When you made the commitment to the University of Miami, you made a commitment to a head coach, Manny Diaz. Why was that? Why was he the right guy for you?
Coach Diaz is a great guy, first of all. Just meeting him on my official visit, I could tell he was a good person first, and also he's a great coach. So I know what he does with the defense every single year. So me playing with a great defense was up there on my list. So just meeting him and the things he do with defense kind of persuaded me to come here.
Derek, thank you. I look forward to calling lots of your touchdowns.
Appreciate that. Yes, sir.
All right, Derek King joining us here on the Hurricane Hotline, who had a heck of a career at the University of Houston, 78 total touchdowns, 50 through the air, 28 on the ground, 4,925 passing yards. He ran for 1,400 yards, started 22 games, total over 6,300 yards of total offense, 181 per game. He also set the American Athletic Conference touchdowns responsible for in a season record with 50. And that was despite missing 2.5 games with an injury in 2018. So spring football starts on Monday. Derek King will be the Hurricanes general of their offense. So that should be a lot of fun. When we come back, Katie Meyer joins us on the show. First, let me talk to you about Williamson Cadillac. Williamson Cadillac right now. You can experience everything that Williamson Cadillac has to offer. Right now at Williamson Cadillac, Ed Williamson has Escalades, XT4s, the XT5. That's what I'm driving. Smooth, comfortable, quiet, roomy, great on the gas mileage. XT6s, and right now at Williamson Cadillac, the first ever 2020 CT4, Cadillac's dynamic new edition. You can visit their state-of-the-art facility. Williamson Cadillac is located at US 1 and 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto Expressway. Or you can check out all of these beautiful automobiles online. Their entire inventory is online at WilliamsonCadillac.com. Williamson Cadillac, your premier luxury dealership, because Williamson is Miami.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Dan Day is our producer tonight. Dan doing a great job with us here in the command center. And joining us on the show right now, University of Miami head coach Katie Meyer. Coach, good evening. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Very good. Thank you. Yesterday, you got Beatrice Montpremier back and a hard-fought game against Boston College. But Beatrice came back and played well, 15.6 rebounds in 17 minutes.
What a performance. I mean, I spoke with Beatrice today. She was in the training room, and I just said, you know, very rarely in my life do I have a lower expectation of a player. I mean, usually I'm like expecting everybody to be awesome and you're going to be great and you're going to, I'm so positive. But really, I didn't know if playing Beatrice, we were going to play her in. It wasn't part of a strategy to try to help us win the game. It was just, you know, she was cleared. She really hadn't scrimmaged with the team. But, you know, this was the first day that, you know, she could go up and down, and that it's a very risky thing as a coach to say, oh, wait a minute, so we're going to throw her in a game, not a practice, not have a couple practices, just kind of throw her in. And that was just the timing of it all, and they said, play her in if you want, and it was kind of a coach's decision. And I talked to Beatrice on the plane on the way there, and I said, B, how do you feel? Like, what do you think? And she said, well, if you're going to play me, play me. I said, okay. And she was fantastic. I mean, like a real weapon. We obviously had limited minutes, but if she hadn't been limited, the outcome's probably different. But I never expected her to be able to do as much as she was able to do after that much time off. It was quite a performance, one of the most competitive, resilient performances I've ever seen.
Katie Meyer is our guest. This is not meant to be a sympathy card, and because I know you would not accept this sympathy card, but for the casual fan, maybe they would not understand that the terrible luck, and I feel terrible for you, in that Beatrice Montpremier was the ACC preseason player of the year. She's arguably one of the top 10 players in the country, and you pretty much lost her for most of the season.
No, yeah. She was, I think going into the season, I don't think there's any question she was considered, maybe not one, I think Serena from Oregon. But, I mean, the debate between two or three, not top 10, Joe, we're talking top three.
Okay, well, and, I was just trying to leave some wiggle room there.
I mean, hopefully she can play a little bit here and kind of regain some of that because, to be that talented, to have not practiced, I'm telling you, not practiced. She did not participate in a full court scrimmage, maybe, you know, three up and downs. And to be able to be that productive in 17 minutes of play is unheard of. I mean, it just does not happen. It was one of those things where so I'm happy for her. I think she can reestablish herself. I think she can help us get some more wins on the season here. I'm just really proud of her. But, obviously a different thing. But, you know, had we been here along, maybe we don't have the development of Breonna Jackson. Maybe we don't have the Sydney Roby story. Maybe Destiny Harden doesn't step up. You know, in the last two games, we've had two players that, you know, weren't starters at the beginning of the year and weren't in the top seven or eight that got their career highs and were our leading scorers in Destiny Harden and Taylor Mason. So, you know, there are things happening because of Beatrice's absence, but obviously her return has been something to celebrate.
Yeah. Let me ask you this one. Because you work tirelessly in recruiting, and so you land a Beatrice Montpremier in recruiting. What do you think, or will there be an effect for you in future recruiting? Because, as you mentioned, top three player in the country, you were able to get a top three player into your program. That should say something to the other great players out there.
Well, I think so as well. And I think last year I thought both Emesa and Beatrice got a lot of national recognition. You know, they led the nation in double-doubles. It led the nation. And they were talking about the two at Baylor and these other players and other programs. And we were like, hey, by the way, they're leading. So, you know, and I think that really helped propel Beatrice. And then this year was kind of her time to sort of earn it on her own. And she was having a fantastic season before she got injured. And I think this, you know, just that stat line was enough to sort of bounce everyone back into reality. Say, oh, my God, like Beatrice Montpremier is a dominant player, not just a nice player. But, yeah, she – very possibly was going to be the ACC player of the year. And you know, now this will be her third ACC game that she even participated in, one of which she was playing with with an injury. I'm happy for her. I'm happy for the team. I think that, I really thought maybe we were going to go 5 to 10 minutes. We got up to over 15, which was crazy, but it was great. And she didn't have any negative reactions. So we'll keep working her in.
Well, that's great because, you know, you'll go to the ACC tournament and they'll have to deal with her there. You played Boston College eyeball to eyeball yesterday, but some of the shots didn't fall in the fourth quarter.
Well, yeah, not so much that. We also had our highest foul total of my career, I think. It was a little bit nuts. We had a lot of fouls. I think we had over 30 fouls. That was something. That was just something to manage. Let me just put it that way.
Okay.
It was really something to manage. Trying to work through, with Beatrice back. So imagine if she hadn't been back, because India Banks had to swing from the point guard to the four position in a matter of 30 seconds when there were four fouls called on us. I mean, it was crazy. I'm not saying we didn't foul. I'm just saying there was a lot of adversity in that game. So when we were full strength and they were full strength, it was quite a battle. And then towards the end there, we got a little bit disjointed. But we're playing much better than we were playing 2 weeks ago. We're playing much better than we were playing a month ago. We were playing much better than we were playing at the beginning of the season, even with Beatrice. There has been a lot of growth. It's just a matter of us. I mean, the way we played NC State was phenomenal. The way we played at Clemson was really high-level basketball. So, and we had really, I think, two very, very good quarters against Boston College. And then just, we had just a lot of adversity in that game. And, we got to bounce back and go up to Wake Forest and go on the road again and deal with it better than we dealt with it up in Boston.
Has this been a challenging season, frustrating season, eye-opening season? How would you describe it?
You know, I'm never frustrated if I feel like there's real learning going on. I'm just not. I know the task is the wins and losses. I know that's how you're judged as a coach. I think we've proven that, you know, we can get that done here. I think this year's there needed to be so much learning, and I don't know that we really realized that at the beginning of the season. We had a little of an inflated view of ourselves, I think, and I kept trying to say, hey, there's a big gap here between what we'll need to be in January and where we are right now, and you got to learn. And as they finally started figuring it out, we had those injuries. I mean, not only just Beatrice, but also, you know, Kelsey Marshall broke her finger in the middle of the game and kept playing. And MJ went down for a significant 2-week period as well. So, you know, we had three of our top six that were out pretty much, you know, with significant injuries that we were battling through. And so, you know, as we decided, okay, coach, you know what? You're right. We got a lot of developing to do. There was a lot of great learning going on. Thank God, because right when that was happening, we were down two or three right away, and we just really have battled. So it's funny. There's been a lot more growth in the last month than there was in the first 2 months of the season. There really has been.
You know, Wes Durham was on the show earlier tonight from the ACC Network, and he was very complimentary about how you allowed your program to be on the ACC Network with the All Access. That has been very interesting and very positive for the network. And why did you decide to choose to do that? And because I can't think of anybody better, by the way, than you to have that kind of program or that kind of access. But has it been beneficial?
You know, I hope so. I think we'll find out a little bit more in the next recruiting cycle. But it's vulnerable. You know, you're exposed. I mean, you know, you got to trust some people. But when they say All Access, they mean it. I mean, they're at my house. They're, you know, it was a lot. And I think our team really enjoyed it. I think they probably captured some moments that, you know, you're not always just like, you're not always perfect little angels. But I just, when we decided to do it, I said the only way to do it, in my opinion, is to just I have to trust you. We'd like to make sure that we don't do anything that embarrasses the program, but we're a pretty authentic program. I mean, we're pretty much transparent people. The things I say to my players in practice, I would say, at their dinner tables. I mean, if they're being lazy, they're going to be told they're being lazy. If they're being awesome, I'm going to tell them they're awesome. So I didn't think that I don't feel like we changed or had a filter or whatever, and I think it was just a little bit – I think the network – was surprised at how much access we actually gave, because I believe in what we're doing, and I believe in how we do things, and I, you know, there's nothing to hide. I'm proud. I'm proud of what we've built here, and I'm proud of my players.
You have my staff. You have a very long coaching career in front of you, but it's one day if you ever wanted, you could do, you'd be a very good television analyst. Do you need an agent? I'll be your agent.
Oh, listen now. Let me just keep analyzing my. I want to analyze myself. I go home and I watch the film and I'm like, gosh, Meyer, you could have done this better and this better and this better. I'm very, very critical of myself. So, don't put a camera on me, please. I got enough work to do. We gotta turn this thing around. I think we got some more wins ahead of us this season. We really do.
Do you second guess yourself a lot?
I don't. You know what? That seems weak. If a coach says, you know, they're always right, they're lying. You know, you have to have a real honest perspective when you're watching. You know, I should have called him out here. Oh, I could have made this substitution better. Like if a coach isn't doing that, then you know, I don't think they're a very good coach. I mean, and I think my staff, we have very honest meetings, you know, post game, and very honest, you know, during the games, making sure that everybody knows, you know, this is, hey, we made this mistake. We missed this adjustment here. I think that's fair.
I want to, I'm not going to forget that you got Wake Forest and Senior Day coming up. I didn't want to ask you this, though, since we're on this coaching topic. And I was watching Coach L operate the other night with his team before the Notre Dame game. And he's laying out the game plan to the players. And, you know, you kind of try to observe, are they taking this game plan in? And there's always this big discussion, Coach, about the coach's role and what they can lay out and the players. Is it the players that win? Is it the coach that wins? And I'm watching him and I'm thinking, okay, part of this deal is the coaches come up with a game plan, and then it's, can the players accept it, execute it, agree to it? There are some different dimensions that go into that, right? You got to present them the information And then they've got to, you got to sell it to them, or they've got to agree to it, or whatever it is, they've got to absorb it.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, young coaches are, you know, one thing I resent when I hear an assistant coach or a head coach or anybody say, well, I told him, like, we told him that in the scout, we told him, you know, that's fine. You know, we're not lecturers, you know. They don't come in with a pen and a paper and sit and listen to you for 3 hours and you tell them everything they needed to win the game and think that that is enough. That's you know, that's sharing of the information. That's one thing. But implementing it, getting them confident, getting them to their reactions to make sense to what you're trying to implement. So that's where you have to judge their capacity. You honestly have to look at your team. You have to understand what they're capable of, how much they can handle, how much information is too much information. If you play a slower style, you can load them up a little bit more. But if you play an aggressive attacking style, and then you ask them to suddenly just play chess. I mean, you know, and so we've gone through some of that this year where we had, you know, I think a lot more of a sophisticated strategic and a Laura Cornelius and a Mesa Hoff where they had a little bit. And this year's team needs to be a little bit simpler in order to play as hard as they needed to play to win basketball games. And so, and that's just sometimes just the nature of your team. But as a coach, you know, sitting there on your throne saying, well, I told them, they just didn't do it. I resent that. I don't think that's coaching, and I don't think it's fair to your team. I mean, your job is to make sure that learning is happening. And no matter whose fault it is, no matter what the situation was, if learning isn't happening, it goes back to the head coach. And there's no finger pointing. That's 100% on you.
Okay, you beat Wake Forest earlier this year, and you had to go to Wake Forest this week.
Yeah, it was what a battle. I mean, that was our first conference game. It was right after Christmas break, and yeah, this is going to be a tough one. They're playing very, very well. They had a huge win against North Carolina yesterday. They dropped a very close game to Florida State and a close game to Virginia Tech recently, and they're playing very well. They're a veteran. They returned everyone from last year's team. And so, you know, this is, they got one of the nicest point guards, I think, just a real heady, steady point guard. So when we play a team that has a really nice point guard and makes great decisions, we don't get away with some of our trapping and some of our disguised defenses that have helped us generate points. So we're going to have to earn every point we find. It's not going to be a lot of breakaway and steals and that kind of thing. So, a lot of work ahead of us. It'll be a tough one, but, it's a good battle. It's a great test, getting ready for the home stretch.
And then Sunday is Senior Day, and because of the emotion involved in Senior Day, and especially with the relationships you have with your players, and Beatrice is a senior, 16 rebounds away from 1,000. I don't know if Senior Day through the years is your favorite day or least favorite day.
Well, you know, this one's going to be as unique as ever. We have one senior. She's a fifth-year senior. She's from Miami. She didn't start at, you know, she started at Baylor.
Right.
And then she's just making this comeback, which, you know, Senior Day, when you think about it as a launch, not a goodbye, but like a launch, you know, a path for her. And I'm just so happy because, you know, there was such a strange injury, such an inconsistent rehabilitation process in terms of what the timing was. I just want her healthy. I really want it to be a day where we celebrate Beatrice and get ourselves some momentum going to the ACC tournament because, you know, a healthy Beatrice puts us 1,000% in the dark horse category that nobody would want to play us in the tournament. And we have, you know, a week, 10 days to sort of build her in and revamp the team a little bit and be a lot more threatening than we've been on the offensive end and helping us on the rebounding end. And everybody plays a little bit better when they have, you know, a little bit more support behind them. So I think we'll have a great energy.
Okay. Well, I know there's been a silver lining, but it sure is nice to have one of the top players in the country back. And kind of a darn shame.
I'm not going to turn it down. Yeah, we're going to take whatever games we can, for sure.
Darn shame that she got hurt. But, you know, that's injuries are part of the game, I suppose. And
it sure is.
You know, both you and Coach L have had your share of injuries to deal with this year. And I'm pretty much I'm done with the injuries. Enough injuries already.
Well, I'll tell you, I've had more healthy players than injured ones. So, you know, Until you know, we've had our opportunities. We just got to get it done.
All right, Coach. Always great to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, take care. All right. Bye. That's University of Miami head coach Katie Meyer joining us on the show. They'll play Wake Forest on Thursday, and then on Sunday at the Wasco Center, Senior Day, recognizing Beatrice Monpremier, just 16 rebounds away from 1,000 career rebounds. What a career she has had. What a player, and how unfortunate to have lost her for most of the season. And no doubt, a healthy one player can change your fortune in basketball by a lot. At any rate, when we come back, we'll jump back into football. Next Monday, the Hurricanes will be on the football field. Spring football starts. Quincy Roche, who transferred from Temple to the University of Miami. At Temple, he totaled 137 tackles. He had 39.5 tackles for losses and 26 sacks in three seasons. He brings that resume to the University of Miami. He also had three block kicks and recovered five fumbles. So this is a very, very productive player that will be plugged in at defensive end for Miami, a perfect fit for the University of Miami on their defensive line. Quincy Roche joins us when we come back on the Hurricane Hotline.
This is Noah Chari from the Florida Panthers, and this is your radio, home of the Panthers.
Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Joining us now is University of Miami defensive end Quincy Roche, transferred in using the transfer portal. Quincy, welcome to Miami.
Hey, thank you. Glad to be here.
You started off at Temple. We were talking about this off the air. There's a little bit of a difference between Miami in February and Philadelphia in the wintertime, isn't there?
It's a big difference. You know, I haven't had to wear my coat yet, so, you know, I'm loving it.
You can put that coat away, get used to wearing flip-flops. Why was coming to the University of Miami, why was this a good spot for you as a defensive lineman?
Obviously, it's a very historical program. A lot of great history here. A lot of greats have played here. And, you know, it's a similar system to what we ran at Temple. You know, it's a high-intensity defense, high-effort, aggressive defense. So I thought I really fit in well. I thought I fit in well with the guys. I thought I fit in well with the system. And it just seemed right for me.
This is a system where you can rush the quarterback.
Yes, yes.
You probably like that, right? Getting to the quarterback and getting him on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be able to rush the quarterback. You know, I'll be able to show some film in space. So a lot of different things. So I'm just excited and I'm looking forward to this opportunity.
A lot of people have talked about forming a dynamic duo with you on one side, Greg Rousseau on the other side, Jafari Harvey. Figures in that mix as well. So you do have some guys, including yourself, that on the edge can get to the quarterback.
Yeah, you know, I'm excited. And I think they would say the same thing. To be able to play around great talent, you know, I think it's going to make all of us better. You know, we can learn from each other, and I'm just ready to get it rocking and rolling.
Was it important for you to get to a Power 5 school to also improve your skills?
Yes, I think that out of the group of five conferences, I think that American is the best conference. And so I wasn't willing to transfer across conferences. Power Five was really the only option. And I think that being here in Miami is the best fit for me. And I'm just looking forward to maximizing this opportunity.
Quincy Roche, Hurricanes defensive end, is our guest. One of the things that they would often say about Temple football is their toughness. It was a hard-nosed, tough, physical team. Is that something that you want to bring to this squad, toughness, an edge, and a physicality?
You know, we had a great saying that's true, that we used to say we're the hardest working, the hardest, toughest, most competitive team in the country. And we really believe that there. I'm just looking forward to coming in here, exhibiting, working hard, being tough, and being competitive every day, and leading by example so I can come in and make a difference in this program.
Are you excited about the chances and the possibilities of playing a Florida State, a Virginia Tech, a North Carolina?
Yes. Big dream of mine, you know, to play against some of those schools. You know, you watch them on TV growing up. So it's a big dream of mine. And like I said, I'm just excited, man. You know, I love football. I love to play football. And to be able to play against those guys, I think it'll just bring more, more passion and more hunger to the game, to my game.
And all that being said, lo and behold, the first game of the year is against Temple.
Yeah, man, it's a unique scenario. It's a unique situation.
Now, I would imagine you know those guys on offense.
Yeah, you know, I'm practicing against them every day. I'm really close with everybody on the team, you know, as a leader in that program. Really close with everybody, you know, but I wish everybody the best, you know, and everybody wishes me well. Sometimes, you know, it happens this way, and, you know, I'll get their best and they'll get my best, you know, but I'm a Miami Hurricane now, and I'm really looking forward to going 12-0 and maximizing this opportunity.
How about playing for Coach Diaz? How important was that to you?
You know, I really like this style. I like what he stood for. I thought he was a good guy. I thought it was a family guy. So, you know, that's right down my alley. And I just, like I said, I really thought this would be a great fit. I thought it'd be a place where I could come in and it'd be a smooth transition. So, you know, like I said, I'm just looking forward to this opportunity.
I don't know, because he's only been on the job for a couple of days, if you had a chance to interact with him, but certainly during the course of the year, you will. Miami does have a chief of staff position, and it's Ed Reed, a former Hall of Famer, played for the Baltimore Ravens, of course, a former Hurricane. That has to be nice, I would imagine, from a player from your perspective, a guy that's in his last year, to be able to pick the brain of a guy who played in the NFL at a very high level.
Yeah, not only that, just being a kid growing up in Baltimore, you know, was my favorite NFL team. You know, watching him and Ray Lewis and Terrell Suggs lead that defense, those guys are role models for me growing up. So to be able to, you know, meet him and realize how good of a guy he is, it's just like a dream come true. And like I said, I think this whole transition will be really smooth, and you know, I'm just looking forward to maximizing the opportunity.
You're not the only player the University of Miami got from the American Conference in the transfer portal. Derek King from Houston. Now, did you guys you had to play against each other, right? Did you chase him down?
Yeah. we had a couple run-ins during that game. But, you know, he's a really talented player. I actually got a sack that game. But he's a really talented player, probably one of the most talented players I've played against in college. Very dynamic with his feet, very dynamic with his arm. And, you know, I'm really glad I don't have to play against him.
Yeah, I was going to say now, guys are trying to sack him. What's it going to be like for him to be in this offense and with his athletic ability?
I think it'll do wonders for our offense here. I think it'll bring a dimension that, you know, that's hard to stop, you know, because trying to stop somebody through the air is one thing, but trying to stop their feet is another thing. So it just brings a whole new dynamic to the offense, which in turn will help the defense.
How much time have you been able to spend with your new teammates, especially on the defensive side?
A lot of times. A lot of time. You know, some guys on the D-line, Nesta, Greg, Jalen Phillips, you know, they welcome me with open arms. And I'm just looking forward to coming with the guys, start building chemistry, and, you know, start building something special here.
Spring football is going to start here in just a matter of weeks. It's going to actually start in February. What do you want to get accomplished in spring football?
Coming in, you know, I just want to earn the respect of the guys. You know, I want to start building chemistry, and I just want to show them that, you know, I'm not a guy who thinks anything's going to be given to me. I'm not a guy who dwells on the past. You know, I'm a guy that looks forward and is all about hard work. So I'm coming in every day with the mindset that I'm going to work hard, I'm going to be tough, I'm going to be competitive, just like before. And, you know, we'll see what happens. I want to make the best out of this opportunity.
This is a pretty simple question, but probably not an easy answer. Why are you a good pass rusher?
Because I'm willing to win on every down.
Have a certain move, a go-to move that you like, or is what do you think is the key to getting to the quarterback?
I think the key to getting to the quarterback is first your get-off. The get-off the ball is half the battle. You know, you can work whatever move you want. You can be as strong as you want. But if you get off the ball slow, you're going to lose.
But there are guys that can get to the quarterback, but not everybody gets them on the ground. But you've been able to get guys on the ground.
Yeah, and that's probably the next most important thing to pass rush. You know, like I said, the moves and the hands and the hips, you know, that's a very small part of pass rushing. You know, your get off is very important, and finishing after you work your move is the next most important thing. You know, a lot of people struggle with the finishing part. You want to finish, and that starts in the off season. You want it to be muscle memory. And any drill you do, you want to work finishing and bursting. And so those things, those small things, are what translates into success on the football field.
Quincy Roche, you look good in the green and orange. How does it feel?
It feels good, man. You know, I'm really excited. You probably can tell, but I'm really excited about this opportunity.
Thank you for being with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.